all our detectives, they did.
Good job, John, thank you.
For everybody in the long run, you know.
My pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So the big question is talking about the coaches, how do we account for?
Welcome to the Des Moines County Board of Supervisors meeting, July 19, 2022. Is there any changes to the agenda? I have none.
I have none.
She'll meet with department heads and elected officials.
You're talking up here, Trent. I know what's going on over there. Every time he gets a haircut, he gets unruly.
Terry Johnson, County Auditor.
Good morning. Let's see, I was off for 2 weeks, so I'm kind of a little behind here. We're just catching up. The girls did really good at keeping the office going. And probably next week, I'll sit down and figure out all the correct dates, but I'll be giving you election updates pretty soon. Because there will be filing deadlines for ag extension and soil and water. And those are usually at the end of August, and then plus any MPOs for any offices. So I'll give you all of those updates next week, so.
Thank you. And before we move on here, thanks for the pen.
Actually, Ken got that for you.
For all of them I've lost. Alan Gersh, IT.
Just keep busy like always, working on, you know, new projects for the new fiscal year. Just keep busy, that's about it.
Got everything with Tyler under control now?
I think so, as much as I can.
Yeah, I was in here last week and he was having a heck of a time with payroll and that. Not your problem, it's Tyler's, but thanks for everything you do, Colin.
Yep.
Appreciate it. Sheriff Dundenny, how's the sheriff's department?
It's busy times, but nothing unusual. Things are going well. Our jail population, we're up to 75. We have room out there, but we have 7 out of county because of conflicts. We only have so many special status cells or max cells. So unfortunately, we have to find a specific cell for them. So we have a 7 out of county right now. Should be going down in the next week, but that's about where our budget line is, where we don't want to be over, but we're doing well in comparison still.
Good.
We have our testing this Saturday at 8 a.m. Our application period closed about a week and a half ago. We're pretty excited about the application pool we have, so we'll be doing our physical testing, then follow that with the post-exam, the cognitive testing after that, and then we'll move on to civil service interviews in the week or two to follow. So excited about the group we have, and we'll be looking for a couple new deputies.
Oh, good.
Hey, on those special cells, how many do you have?
So there's 2 special status cells, and that would be the cells that we would use for somebody that may have some cognitive or mental issues, so that they can't really be exposed to others. And then we have 6 male max cells, and those, if they meet a certain offense level or they're a threat, then we'll limit their time out. So they'll get at least an hour out a day, but we won't let them out in groups. If they're there on certain offenses, typically we use like the forcible felony level of offenses. And then there's 2 super max cells.
So we don't have a COVID cell?
So we have cells where we can isolate, but not specific to COVID. But we do have the ability to isolate inmates when they have been tested positive, and we do that.
Kind of sounds like Shane's like shopping for a hotel room. Like that.
I wouldn't tell you the truth, Brian, but the cameras on. But they say the food's really good. You know, I hear I can get my tooth fixed. So anyways, let's keep it moving.
Thank you, Kevin.
Yep.
Rodney Bleasner, maintenance.
Good morning. Just working on several projects. Nothing really new to report. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Rodney. Zach James, regional planning.
Yeah, things going well. Been fairly steady with subdivisions and subdivision review, and had a couple building permit things that have come in. So just keep busy with some of those things. I just mentioned a trend too. We haven't really got too far into the solar and wind ordinance, but I think Jared and I are probably going to be here next week and start to create a more detailed plan about kind of what our process would be, and then I think probably sit down with Trent, the attorney's office, just to go over a couple things too with some legislation that came through the last session. And then the only other thing I was just going to mention real quick, and I'll have to send an email out, but you guys had committed, I believe, for Des Moines County Housing Needs study, I don't know, a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And there's a survey out at the moment right now. It's open through, I believe, the end of this week. So I'll send a link out to some folks here and staff and stuff, just so people here can get a chance to take that and maybe forward it on to some other people too. But just wanted to get that out there, and hopefully everybody can get a chance to take that, give some feedback.
How soon is that coming up?
I believe it is due this Friday. It's kind of the final day. The consultant who's actually in charge, so we're helping distribute the survey, but there's a consultant doing it, but they've kind of been giving us updates on the numbers, so we're doing pretty good, actually, but we'd like to probably get another 50 or so by the end of the week if we could, but we've got a few hundred at the moment, so.
Okay. Thanks, Zach.
Yep.
Trent Heckwick, attorney's office.
It's going good. Lisa's on medical leave for about the next month. I think she'll be available via computer by the end of the week. Now, that memorandum went out talking about the opioid agreement.
Yeah.
The Cliff Notes on that there is... Coming to Des Moines County, first year, first installment is $42,000. So we know we're going to get that. So that needs to be used specific to opioid abatement. When you look in the state's memorandum, they have exhibits Schedule A and B, which is only 11 pages. I say only, right? But it's... But that has possible uses. So what Lisa wanted me to bring up was for us to think about as a group getting together with putting together essentially almost like a task force to look at this opioid. The reality
with other organizations, is that the task force that she's trying to get with
Part of it's with the city. At the end of the day, some of it could be allocated specifically to Burlington, or it could be handled at this level. It's only $42,000, so at some point, it's almost not enough to do anything. It's real money, but it's not enough to set up anything really lasting. So I think what we're looking for is something we can piggyback on, tag on, ideas on ways we can take this $42,000 and then, what might be less coming over the next 16 years and parlay it into something that really helped. Some of the options are dual diagnosis, which, we have little to nothing, very little of at all here in the county. There's options, of course, the first two on their list, if you were a medication company, your first two options would be more medicine, which is options A and B. And then some of their talk and the next few are talking about dealing with pregnant mothers, postpartum women, and frankly dealing with a neonatal. And I've had China cases where there were children, babies born, addicted to these opioids because it's a horrific thing. I mean, just being an attorney involved and reading all the reports, I can imagine people dealing with these babies who are born hooked on drugs. So that's an option.
I would just think 9 months, is a pregnancy term. Mm-hmm. And you're taking opioids all 9 months. So where's somebody getting opioids for 9 months? Are they buying this online? I don't understand. How is somebody...
Well, what often happens is, And the story that you would hear again and again in various versions would be, you'd have your person, normal law-abiding citizen, goes to the doctor, get prescribed medicine. A month later, they're now hooked on the medicine. Doctor takes them off, so they start buying from their buddies or finding ways to get it, or accidents, this hurts, that hurts. And then, you know, 6 months later, they're buying it on the street. And then a year later, you know, or two, they're on to heroin and other, you know, fentanyl. And it just, that's how it kind of progresses. And it goes down the hole pretty fast for a lot of folks. But that was kind of the problem with these opioids. And now the medical profession is much more aware of it, but that as we go in, that's some options is for education for local medical personnel on how to prescribe it. You know, I think that's already kind of been done, but so yeah, how do they find it? A lot of times.
We're saying we've got that many people getting prescription pills, selling them. I mean, I'm just saying, just one person to stay on that your baby was born addicted to pills, she had been taking them the whole 9 months.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know medically, but oftentimes, yeah, they're either taking the pills or they've already at that point moved on to, you know, the heroin or you know, fentanyl or whatever it is, right? So there's options like that. Some syringe services, which I don't know, they're giving people clean syringes. I don't know if that's. But there's some really good ideas, some ideas that I think are like, well.
Grant, not to cut you off, but I think we ought to have a work station on this to get this all settled up, because the figure you gave me there, $42,000, then on in there it says New Orleans County gets like $38,000 instead of $42,000.
Well, if you look at their Schedule A, it was $41,900 now, but then there's going to be ongoing amounts for the 16 years after. And so they're talking about possible payments that are higher later in the year based on if there's money left over after legal fees and stuff. If that happens, that's nice, but you can't, I don't think we could really rely on that. But then there's an amount going forward that 16 year, and I'm not sure exactly what that is.
I see where it's giving some of the cities some money too. Like the bigger cities, you know, they're giving them money if it's over the.
Yeah, and that may be, yeah. So yeah, Burlington's one that if they wanted to, they could get some on their own. But they run into the same problem that we have, even more so if you slice it one more time. It's already too little for any one program unless you're able to parlay it with something else.
That's why I think we should have a meeting, you know, get everybody together, because it's not giving Burlington share in there right now on this. I didn't have anything to do yesterday, so I read that.
Yeah.
Put us on sleep.
Yeah.
Is that a memo that you would mind distributing further? Would you mind sending that to me?
Yeah,
I got it. There's actually a copy laying on Jim's desk there if you want to go ahead and take that, because...
Yeah.
I didn't know if they wanted a copy or not, but I did print off one copy. So,
Sheriff, would you say that we've got a problem in Duane County with heroin and opioids and that?
I would say that we have a problem. Is our problem to the level of what other regions have seen? Probably not. But the big thing is to be proactive and be ahead of it. So we worked on a lot of legislation this year to get the penalties equalized with methamphetamine, because, you know, our focus has always been on methamphetamine in Iowa. But what it was doing over the last couple of years, it was opening the door for the distribution of heroin and fentanyl-laced heroin, or just fentanyl-laced with anything. So that's what we're seeing, and what we know is that the major drug that's coming across our borders is fentanyl. It's really transitioned from methamphetamine. The cartel drugs have transitioned to fentanyl.
Aren't those, I just want to make sure I get my hammer. Meth, that's tweaking out. Fentanyl, I thought that was putting you to sleep. Isn't that the complete opposite of that?
It's still a drug that creates addiction that is highly sought after. And the addiction is very severe. We will even find methamphetamine that's been laced with fentanyl. I mean, it's a cheap drug that apparently is very potent, and they're able to move it across the borders. So that's what they're doing, and we're finding that in a lot of drugs. I would say the first fentanyl we saw was about 7 or 8 years ago in Des Moines County, and we've worked really hard to keep that out of here. But we still have cases. We see fentanyl from time to time. It's any fentanyl, any heroin, any ice, any methamphetamine, to me, is a problem that we need to work on, and we are seeing that. Definitely not to the level of other areas, but we're seeing overdoses. We're seeing those things happen weekly. Those things are happening, so it's something that we really need to work on. I think there's two sides of it. You know, there's treatment. We need to have treatment. We need to focus on that. There's enforcement. There's things that we can do. I don't think you're going to be able to... There's not one fix all. We all have to be in this together to work on eradicating it, getting it out of here. But the legislative changes were very important, because our dealers were saying that, you know, if I sell methamphetamine, if I get caught with a certain level of weight over 5 grams, then I could be looking at this B felony. But if I'm selling anything laced with heroin or fentanyl, my felonies are reduced, or the crime is reduced. We focus on methamphetamine, which was a good thing, but they found the opportunity of less punishment in heroin and fentanyl, and that kind of opened up that gate a little bit. So,
Grant, do you think that money would be better off if it just all went to the task force that they could? It's only $47,000, and if they could,
I don't think we could do that. Well, I mean, you're talking the drug task force?
Yeah.
That's,
is that considered
That's not considered list of...
keeping them, that stuff off the street.
Yeah.
But I think it also has to deal with treatment.
Yeah, a lot of it's geared more towards... Really, you know, that's more in the middle. They're either towards the end or towards the beginning.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of options in there for... education. It could be like the medical education we talked about, med pros. There's money for different types of media campaigns. There's funding for in-person teaching. Like, we just had a tall cop come and give a presentation here the country club, but it was for law enforcement, teachers, anybody dealing with kids, about information on, hey, what's out there and what, you know, and so that it really is focusing on those two, like the very beginning, trying to stop it from the jump, and more so treatment. There is some availability for funding for law enforcement things, and for first responders. But again, that's some education and some of this, again, medicine, this naloxone, which is a almost like, as a soldier, you get biological agent, chemical agent, you got your pop to give yourself the antidote. This naloxone's a kind of antidote, so if somebody gets exposed to, especially exposed to fentanyl, a quick antidote to counteract it a little bit. So there's some things like that fall into that realm. But straight up giving to the task force, I think, I'd have to look, but I think we might run afoul at that point.
Great, Jimmy, we need a work session.
Okay, thanks,
Grant.
Yeah.
Chris Lee, Conservation.
Wanted to see if we could do our work session August 4th. It's a Thursday. We're going to move our board meeting to that Thursday because we have a scheduling conflict for that Wednesday. This will be up at Big Hollow. Here in the last few to several weeks, we've had several rather large donors step up to throw some serious dollars at us. I'm towing the $500,000 mark. And so we need to talk about the that park master plan and the projects that are going to be coming through the pipeline. There's also some grant opportunities out there that I want to look into tapping. And so I need to get the supervisors and my board talking together. And so I was hoping August 4th sounds like the next best day. Will that work for you?
I'm available August 4th. I don't know about Shane or Tom.
Good.
I haven't had a chance to talk to Tom yet, but I've got most of my board contacted, so I think it sounds like that works for the majority of everybody. So
Doug, just send an email out to us.
Yep.
Sure.
Yep, I got two more board members just to confirm with, and I'll try to confirm with Tom, and I'll get an email out today or tomorrow. But that'll be up at Big Hollow, so we kind of see kind of what we're wanting to do with some of these projects.
Cool.
And so, yeah, that's kind of been the thing we've been working on with some of those high-level donors that have stepped up. That's kind of started the dominoes falling.
You got any friends?
What's up? I'm working the network as hard as I can. So, yeah, that's
okay.
About it. Otherwise, just routine stuff. Parks are busy, even with all the heat. Campgrounds are staying pretty busy. A lot of water recreation, folks at the beach and stuff like that.
Okay, thank you.
What's the water?
It's pretty good. So we do a water monitoring every week. So we've been well below any threshold limit for posting swimming advisories. The lake is completely covered in algae, but the beach area is still fairly open because we put those barriers around it. So,
you just got to scrape back the algae, Lori, and then you can take a drink. The water's good.
There's actually very little of it in the swimming area itself, so the barriers have been working pretty good.
I don't know which paper's in because I read both of them this morning, Sunday's and today's. But it gives the lakes that you shouldn't be swimming in, and Lake Geode is listed as one of them.
Yeah, and I'm actually working on some like columns that will come out on Sunday in the Hawkeye. We'll kind of talk about that. So Geode is kind of a special instance because it's so new. It didn't have water in it a year ago, basically. And they stripped 4 foot of bottom out of there. And so what's happening now is there are still nutrients in the water, no matter what. I mean, we live in Iowa, we're gonna have nutrients in our water. And the thing that's gonna grow the fastest is algae. And so they're getting some of that microcystin algae that's growing in there. And that's simply a product of that rooted vegetation hasn't established yet. That's gonna sort itself out in the coming years, largely. We don't think it's a watershed issue because they did so much inside the watershed, and I know they're still working on doing more. So that beach advisory is a microcystin, potentially toxic algae issue. Lake Darling's, on the other hand, that's a bacterial issue. And Darling, even though they invested $16 million in it, whatever that was, several years back, Washington County has the highest hog count per capita of any county in the state, as I understand it. So they're going to get quite a bit of bacteria in that lake. And so that's what those are coming from. But both Big Hollow and Paul Miller, both of them have been running well below thresholds all summer long.
Thank you, Chris.
Yep.
Matt Warner, do you have anything to put in here?
Not really. I'm just here for the end of the year reports that are on the agenda.
Okay.
Later.
Thanks, Matt. We'll move on back to Angie Vaughn.
Good morning. I really don't have anything to add at this time.
You're giving your time to Brian.
Yep.
Okay. Appreciate that.
I yield my time to Brian Carter.
Janelle, how about the trade involved?
I'll make it quick. I'll donate my time to Brian.
I think Trent's at all.
Yeah, okay. Maybe so.
He might be warming up that list now.
We're just working on year end and revving up for the tax billing season. Other than that, just keep it busy.
Okay. Mr. Carter, how secondary roads?
Plenty of stuff going on. Terry and I were talking about this morning, so just got an email this morning from the DOT that Dodgeville Road is supposed to open today. They've been telling me that for 2 weeks, so I guess hold your breath if you wish, but it is supposed to open today. I do know that they were close, so hopefully that's the case. Pleasant Grove Road was supposed to open towards the end of this week. Sounds like they're now talking about that being next week. So So that's an update on that. And first I've heard of it, but supposedly they're gonna close 170th Street for an extended period of time, which is the gravel road portion that is across from Stony Hollow. So if you're going up the highway, the east side is Stony Hollow, the west side is 170th Street. So just as a heads up, that's gonna close. They've got some grading and stuff to do through there. So my guess is that will close for a while, but I don't have a time frame from the DOT on that. Otherwise, plenty of stuff going on, but all just kind of routine maintenance that we're trying to get done.
Okay, thanks, Brian. Yeah. Did I miss anybody, or is anybody online? Okay, we shall move on to correspondence. I see none here. Do you have any correspondence, Shane?
No, I don't.
I do not either. Move on to discussion of votes. We have accounts payable claims in amount of $465,843.70.
I move to approve.
Second. Terry?
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. Okay, we have the appointment letters amended. We shall, these will be for your viewing if you want to. They will be in the auditor's office.
I move to approve.
I'll second. And Terry?
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. Do we have to stamp each one of these, Terry?
Probably.
Okay. Approval of the assessors 2022 homestead credits and military exemptions. You want to address this, Matt?
I mean, it's addressed in the letter. It's pretty straightforward. It just explains how many new homestead credits we got, ones that were removed. There was a couple that were denied for different reasons, which is also on the letters.
So, okay.
Move to approve.
Second. Terry?
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. Okay, then we got the approval of the assessor's 2022 business property tax credits. These also will be?
Same thing, any new business property tax credits or ones that have been dropped. This will be the last year that we will have this report though. It's going away from sign up for the credit, and basically the new legislation that came in last year is changing the way that credit's handled. So it's going to be an assessment limitation situation. So commercial industrial property owners don't have to apply for the credit anymore. They're doing it through a different mechanism to give some relief to those taxpayers.
Okay, so thanks, Matt.
I move to approve.
Second. Terry?
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Jim, did you skip over the disabled vets? There was a military exemption. What was folder D?
Yeah.
Which, do you have a folder D?
Yeah. Matter of fact.
They get switched?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll get it.
Okay, let's go to the disabled vets, okay?
Yeah, same thing. Any new applicants that were approved, and then we had some other ones that were removed. I believe there was two on there that were denied for different reasons there, okay. With containing that letter there.
Okay.
Move to approve.
I'll second. Terry?
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. Now, where, Matt, where that says Did you put this on there, please sign where there's no signature?
No, that was not me.
Should I stamp them there? Is that what you want?
For the passage, just kind of stamped it on the letter and kept it all as one report.
Just step.
Yeah, just stamp the cover letter that's on each one of them.
Okay, they're both approved, right?
Yep.
But it says please sign and then there's not a signature thing there to sign, so.
Well, they don't have a stamp, approval stamp.
Yeah.
Little thing, or we'd have that on there.
Okay, now I think we're back in line here on F for resolution for final plat of the North Division.
No, do you have approval of a lease agreement with Seal?
I didn't even look through the packet.
Should be F, we should be final plat. And then Seal.
No, with resolution here.
Yeah, resolution.
Seal's after that.
Okay, Seal's after that.
Yeah, Seal's after that.
Never mind. I've been off 2 weeks, so I'm on. I'll just come back here and sit there.
I've been off more than that, Terry, so feel.
Okay.
We all yield our time to Brian.
Oh, it's because on here it's mixed up. Okay. Here we go.
Zach, you're on.
I think I'm supposed to yield my time to Brian.
Jared does a pretty nice dog and pony show.
So you have high expectations?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? All right. We have a request for final plat of the Ninth Edition to Wildlife Lakes. This is a proposed subdivision in the Flint River Township. It's 5 lots, just under 7 acres. This is half of the lots that is included in the preliminary plat for the 8th edition that was approved almost 3 years ago, November 2019. The subdivider, Henry Bowen, he decided to split it into two, so we actually had a 5-lot subdivision final plat in July of 2020, so this is the other half being final plat here. This went through the standard review process that we do on subdivisions and no major comments. It is in the 2-mile boundary of the city of West Burlington, so it did have to go to them for review as well, which it was recommended for approval at their zoning commission June 29th and then unanimously approved at the city council on July 6th. They did have one condition, and I'll talk a little bit more about this here in a second, about remaining concrete for hammerhead turnaround. J6 lots 35, 36, and 37 shall be constructed as shown on the preliminary plat of the 8th edition of Wildlife Lakes. And then our zoning commission reviewed this last Tuesday, I believe, July 12th. No public comments received by staff on that public hearing. We had one person show up to the meeting, but he was actually there for a whole different thing, so no comments there. And it was unanimously approved and recommended for approval here to the board. With 3 conditions, one related to the hammerhead turnaround that I just mentioned that West Burlington made, and then 2 other ones which have always been part of the previous phases of this subdivision. One about the minimum width of the road right-of-way to 50 feet is typically 60, and then minimum width for road surface shall be waived to allow for 18 feet. So the one thing I'm just going to touch on a little bit more was that hammerhead turnaround. That preliminary plat that was approved almost 3 years ago showed a concrete turnaround, hammerhead turnaround, at the kind of a corner on Wood Duck Cove Drive. The subdivider agreed to add this accommodation with some concerns about emergency vehicles. Actually, when we were doing that plat, if you remember, there was a house fire out there. It was just after that had happened, so it was kind of fresh on everybody's mind, and so. This was something, though, there was supposed to be a cul-de-sac at the end of that Wood Duck Cove Drive, but it was never installed. So this was kind of a something that we came up with the subdivider and the fire chief as an accommodation. So to date, he installed 45 feet of this turnaround, so there's an extra 15 feet that haven't been paved yet. And the reason for that is it gets into the farm field there. So. He wanted to keep it a little bit shorter so he could continue to farm it until somebody builds a house there. So we worked with and have talked with Mark Crooks, and he's satisfied with how it is for now and that they can still utilize that as is, but those conditions for West Burlington that we have here would be that he extends that 15 feet, and then there's a little kind of flare on the corner too for better turn radius that once that lot gets developed, it'll need to get installed. So we'll have to kind of monitor that in the future. But that's the, that was the kind of the one issue that I just wanted to touch on. But with that, if you have any questions, feel free to ask. But we recommend approval of the ninth addition to Wildlife Lakes.
It'll be good to see him get that closer to finished up, but I move to approve.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll have any more subdivisions beyond that. So I think he's kind of, I think he's about out of land to subdivide there, yeah. I think he's about it. Maybe there's kind of some spots on the east side. He might be able to do a couple lots potentially, but yeah, this might be the last one.
Second. Carrie?
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. Let's finish signing them after we guess. Now we'll move on to the approval of the seal lease agreement. You want me to? This is going to be the same. Rodney, you want to address this? This is something.
Yeah, this is just agreement between the SEAL region for the SEAL region employees that are going to be have offices at the Cottonwood office building out at 910 Cottonwood. So this would cover 1, 2, 3, 4 of their employees out there.
Well, the same
it's just a building lease agreement.
Yeah.
With the SEAL region for those employees for that space.
Motion to approve lease agreement.
Second. Carrie?
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. Personnel action for the correctional center. Angela
Shirts.
This 3 unpaid days, July 17th, 26th, and 30th.
Move to approve.
Second. Carrie?
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. We have the minutes for the regular meeting on July the 12th, 2022.
Move to approve.
Second. Carrie?
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. Okay. Is there any other business? I have none. Future agenda items. I think we've covered that with we gonna put one in there for that. Get a committee together. Will you let her know when it's gonna be then or
I can, and I'd like to have time to invite at least somebody from the city of Burlington. And then I don't know who all, and maybe the work session is to kind of decide who all we want to bring in the room when that happens. Maybe that's the first question. Because who's going to be a part of that task force? That might be the first thing we address.
Okay. Well, when you think you got everything scheduled for that, just let Terry know and then we'll work that in then.
Okay. All right.
Thanks, Chris. Okay. Committee reports.
I may do board and have a report.
I had a Rural Utility Service meeting. They like the new officers. Well, really not new, old ones. They kept the same ones.
What's Plus, if you're gonna report that, then we elected two new officers for the youth board. I just didn't feel like it was worth sharing, but I'll just go ahead and throw that in there.
So, anyway, we still got a problem with Ollie, which is in Keokuk County there. Don't know what's gonna happen. It might be one of the deals like Mount Union where they disincorporate, so, or unincorporate, whatever. We don't know what's gonna happen there yet. But that's all I've got. Time for public input. Seeing nobody in public from in here, we'll give them time to call in, 2 minutes. They can call 319-753-8203, extension 4. That's 319-753-8203, extension 4. They can email board@dmcounty.com. That's board@dmcounty.com. We'll give you 2 minutes.
Trent, where's that money coming from?
So the opioid agreements was with Johnson & Johnson and then several different providers. And by providers, we're talking, you know, the big pharmacies like Walgreens, Asco, Rite Aid, yeah, CVS. Some of those big ones have also jumped in and are providing some money into that pool. So they do anticipate that some more might come in because there's more companies out there that can join in. So they do anticipate that there may be more, but I'm always hesitant to tell somebody in litigation there's going to be more, there's going to be more money coming because it might happen, but we just can't.
I'm surprised about the $42,000. Man, I sure was expecting more than that. When I saw the numbers, it's like, man, our cut is $42,000 on the first allotment. That just
So I looked at the percentages for the 99 counties, and we were above, so we got like 1.79, I think, so close to 2% of the cut here. And out of the mid-sized counties, like Muscatine County got over 1, and they're like probably smaller than us, but there wasn't, I mean, almost most of the counties were below that one mark. Most were under that. The only one that really jumped out at me, like, so Lynn, you know, Black Hawk County got 4.3%, Lynn got 7%, 7 something.
Wow.
Polk got 22%.
Who?
Well, that's a shock. Des
Moines. Which I was, you know, compared to us, yeah, they should get more, but if Lynn County is getting 7% and Black Hawk County is getting 4%, how's Polk County pulling 22? But that's all, it is what it is. It's better, it's more than what we had yesterday.
True, yeah.
So.
Well, it's even got the city of Muscatine itself getting money.
Well, right, so you're looking at that breakdown. So the money's going to come through to us. So Lisa has, and in the memo kind of talks about that how it's coming down. Now, so Lisa will enter the portal, it'll pull down through our budget person, and then if the city wants to separate out theirs, that's an option, right? And I didn't look that far into it. I'm thinking 42,000, we've got to pool it somewhere. So I didn't dig that deep down. It's like you already have though. If they wanted to separate it out between the city and the county.
It doesn't say anything about Des Moines County in there, but it, in one of your things there that I read, it does have the city of Muscatine in there.
Okay, yeah.
Plus Muscatine County.
No, you're thinking of wrong. It's the county, and then if the city wants to pull their portion, the amount that's allocated to Burlington is part of the amount that's allocated to Des Moines County. So if they wanted to separate that out, it would come out of that 42,000. Yeah.
That's probably why I'm seeing that down to 38,000.
Yeah. And I haven't looked that deep in the numbers, but that's how it would happen. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, Grant. Okay, our 2 minutes is up, so with an eye, we're out of here.
Aye.
Thank you, everybody.